Okay, let's continue our teaching, understanding the prophetic. Remember, we were talking about Moses, and then we took a small detour from the life of Moses to begin to talk about the matter of prophecy. I want to say it again. I started by explaining that prophecy is different from predicting. A prediction is when you make an extrapolation based on the facts that you have observed. All right? Nobody's talking about the fact that is good or bad. But the fact that you observe something and then you make extrapolations based on it, that's prediction. But a prophecy is different. A prophecy is creative. Do you understand that? A prophecy is what? It's creative. It's not predicting the event. It's telling you what it's going to do because the thing has been said. All right? So that if you have a situation, all right, and you observe it, and like I say to us all the time, what we do most times as human beings is that we pass comments. We pass comments. You know, I was discussing with some people last night. We had two sets of people. One, we had a lot of arguments. All right, but you see, and if, at the end, I told you, Koyinka was with me. I said, I don't know why I was even arguing with these people. I said it before that I stopped arguing long ago. And it was a matter of the country. And they were explaining why they are going to divide the country. I said, where are you going to divide? Where are you going to divide it? Where will be your dividing line? All right, and I realized, according to Mike Murdoch, all right, whoever is transferring information is transferring his own bias, and that works all the time. I know I have my own bias. I'm a Christian. There are things I believe. All right? So we see, we're having the argument, and we're saying, look, forget it, nobody's dividing anything. But you see, the mistake I made, which I told Yinkado, why did I make that mistake of arguing with this guy? Because you see, my own is not, I don't deduce really. My life is not about deducing, all right? It's not deductions from the things that you can see. We create by the word of God. So you look at the situation and it looks like it's going to divide. So you say to it, do not divide. Are you getting my point? So a prediction is that it will divide. We have seen things that should make it divide. But a prophecy is that the word of God said it will not divide. Therefore, no matter what we see, it will not divide. Quickly go to the book of Isaiah 34, one of my favorite scriptures to explain this issue of prophecy again. All right, I just want to use it one to review the things that we have said in previous times so that we can understand it. Prophecies are not predictions. They are what? They are creative. They are creative. They produce the event. People, like I was saying, the mistake we make is that we pass comments based on what our eyes have seen. But the Bible makes it clear to us that this is the way the word of the Lord is. That's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will not judge after the seeing of his eyes or the hearing of his ears, but he will judge with what? Righteous judgment. If you go and read that Isaiah chapter 34 from verse 16. Now, before we read verse 16, what he was saying, that he was describing the judgment that God was going to bring upon the land. Imagine, let's take a scenario like this. You go to a very beautiful city or a place like Lagos, yes, not because of the beauty, but because of the population of human beings and the concrete jungle that it has become. You don't expect to find wild animals there. You understand my point? And so the Lord was speaking about what he was going to do to the cities and to the nations that he was going to judge. He now said that you are going to get to the land and you will find wild animals. He said that, if you read in verse 11, the pelican and hedgehog shall possess it. This was a land that was populated, all right, by human beings and was well built up. He said all of those things. In verse 14, he said, and the desert creatures shall meet with the wolves, and the hairy goat also shall cry to its kind. Say, yes, the night monster shall settle there and shall find herself a resting place. The tree snake shall make his nest. And if you read in verse later on, he said, yes, the hawks shall be gathered there. That's verse 15. Everyone with its kind, that is, it will be male and female. He now said, listen, what he was saying in effect is this. This does not look likely. This is not the thing that you expect in such a well-built place. He said, so why is it going to happen? Read verse 16. And that's why I said, I want us to read verse 16 and 17. He says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of these will be missing, all right? None will lack its mate. For his mouth has what? Commanded, all right? I'm using the New American Standard. It says, the mouth of the Lord has commanded, therefore his spirit has gathered them. Please, that's verse 16, it's very important. That is, no matter how unlikely something looks, if the mouth of the Lord commands it, his spirit will go out and gather them. A prediction is that we look at things that are natural and we can deduce based on the experience we have with the events on the earth. But a prophecy is not like that. A prophecy is that we look at what is there, we don't like what is there, so we begin to speak so that what we are saying, all right, will be produced. Please, I need to. I know I've said this in this place hundreds of times. That's the mistake we make as Christians. In a nation like Nigeria, the Lord said, "You are the salt of the earth." He said, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." What was I saying? And that's what I want to talk about today. In fact, my message today is titled, what? God's prophets. All right? What did I call it? God's prophet. He said, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." That's why where I got it from, Psalm 105. God's prophets. That is, in every nation, God has his people. Very important. And who are the people that are God's prophets? All right? It's not just those who have an anointing of the prophet over them or upon them, like we look at them today. If you go and read the book of Ephesians chapter 4, where it said he gave gifts unto men. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. All right? For the edifying of the saints. That is not what we are talking about at all. In fact, let's quickly read that one. All right? I'll connect what I'm trying to correct us concerning in this matter of a nation. Psalm 105, quickly. The book of Psalms 105. Like I said, where I want is verse 15, but let me just read in context. It said in verse 8, in fact, and the context is important so that we'll understand. In fact, let's start from verse 1. I'm not going to read everything. I'm going to verse 15. I'll jump here and there. Okay? It was talking about giving thanks to God and giving glory to his holy name. That's in verse 3. It now said, remember his wonders, verse 5, which he has done, his judgments, his marvels, and the judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. The covenant, please follow this, which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. He said this when they were only a few men in number, very few and strangers in that land, all right, in it. And they wandered from nation to nation. And you read that story about Abraham, you read about Isaac, and it happened to Jacob and the nation of Israel also. They went from one nation to another. He said, from one kingdom to another people. Now, while they were doing all of this, verse 14, he permitted no man to oppress them. He reproved kings for their sakes. Remember the story of Abimelech, both in the life of Abraham and in the life of Isaac. He said, how did he do that? He said, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Please, that's why I read that, verse 15. He said, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. It's important we read this and we remember the story of the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the nation of Israel. There was never a time, all right, somebody like Simeon was called a prophet. In fact, Jacob himself, you don't see that word used. Maybe I miss one place or the other, but I'm not really sure I remember that word being used about Jacob himself. I remember it used only once about Abraham. And that was when God was rebuking Abimelech. He said, you have taken the wife of that man and all of that. And he said to Abimelech, he is a prophet. Are you getting my point? Now, the man never spoke one day and said, thus says the Lord. You understand my point? Jacob never spoke up one day and said, thus says the Lord. Same thing with Isaac. And the people of Israel, all right, amongst them, they had individual prophets. But you see, you don't see a typical man there being called a prophet. All right? But the Lord was speaking here. He said, this was what I commanded concerning them. I said, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. We know, therefore, in this context, that all those men were prophets. Now, what are prophets? Now, somebody explained this to me long ago in this particular context. What are prophets? He said that prophets are those who the Lord shapes the events of the earth around. That is, if God wants to do something to Abraham, if he wants Abraham to move, he can create a famine here. Now, there may be thousands of people there, but the only person for whose sake the famine came will be Abraham. Are you getting my point? If he wants the land, if he wants Abraham to be blessed, he will pour rain upon the place. There are hundreds of people there, but the only person whose presence drew that rain down was Abraham. Please, it's very important. You see, you know, I've been saying it again and again. I wrote a tract, Are We All Equal Before God? And the answer in that tract is obvious. No, we are not. People say that we are all the same in the eyes of God. I don't know why people, you know, just wake up and say things that appear morally sound, but they are scripturally inaccurate. They are not accurate. An example I like to give all the time is that many men died, and the Bible says Job was being tempted. The servants had wives and they had children. Those ones were not being tempted. Many men died. Job was being tempted. What about the servants that died? Are you getting my point? David sinned against God. 70,000. How many thousand men died? None of them in his household. And he was the one that sinned against God. You've heard me say it before. I will say it again. We are not all the same. And one vow I made to God those days is that my life, you are not going to kill me for the sin of another person. If you want to kill me, make sure I sinned and I'm being judged. But don't say you want to tempt Israel. You behead Pastor Banky. What kind of temptation is that? Of course, there are technicalities to making that statement. Not just to get up and say, no, I don't want it. You want it, you don't want it. It's not what matters. It's how you live your life before God. It's a personal relationship that you have with God that separates you from one person, all right? It separates one person from the rest of the peoples around him. Very important. It's how that person is walking with God. And those are the people he called his prophets. He shapes the events of the earth around them. Very important that we understand it. So you find out that a place like Enugu is going to be blessed, not because there are 1 million people there that God loves so much. It will be because there are 15, 20 people there that God says, look, I don't want their car to spoil. He will tell the governor, go and tar the road. And you think, look, listen, that's why those who don't know God better hang around those who know him. You understand what I'm saying? Some things will drop. It's called crumbs falling from the children's table. It will drop into your hands. And that's a matter of fact. You know, I've been saying it again. Let me answer that thing I was trying to say. That's why Christians must be careful the way they talk in a nation. They must be careful. It's not because people who are saying things they are saying, it's not that they are not seeing what they claim to be seeing. It is because their own words may be normal, may be average, may be nothing. But for you and for me, our words are powerful. All right, and there are two sides to the power in our words. What I mean is this: there's a positive, direct power. That is, you use it, it works. And then there is a one of neglect. If you don't use it, it is used against you. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. That is, if things are scattering and you say, look at how everything is scattering, you are not saying anything to bring order into the thing that's happening. The Bible says that he that is slothful in business is brother to him that destroys. That's what Solomon said. That the one who is slothful in business is the same as the person who is actively destroying. So when you sit down and look and say, what is going on? We don't know. And you go about your normal business. You understand my point? You are being negligent in your business. When the Lord came to the earth, don't forget that story. Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God didn't just sit down there and say, can you imagine the kind of nonsense that is happening around here? I don't believe this kind of thing happened. Why should there be darkness upon the surface of the deep? I mean, why should the whole place be without form and void? This is voidness, and I don't understand this kind of voidness. This is formlessness. What is causing all this formlessness? Look at darkness, formlessness, voidness, everything just causing confusion all over the place. I mean, Gabriel, I don't understand this kind of... Did this do that? No. The Spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Spirit was incubating what it was going to produce. And when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. So when the heart of the Lord was full, something erupted out of him. You know, I've been saying that in all the time, that God didn't speak English. He just, something just came out, and Moses said, let there be light. Do you know, I was reading my Bible over the weekend, and something, that's a few days ago, something struck me. That Jesus said, glorify thy son, and God said, I've glorified, and I will glorify it again. And the people said, it thundered. That is what they heard, when God spoke, what they heard was, and somebody said, it's thunder. Someone said, no, an angel spoke. Someone said, God spoke. And very few people could decipher what he said. I was reading a few days ago. I said, oh, I've been saying this in all this. I didn't even know there was a direct reference in the scriptures to prove that the thing I'm saying is correct. Of course, there are other references. And the Bible said his voice is like the voice of many waters. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So what was inside him erupted. It came out as, let there be light. And he put order into it. So people sit down in Nigeria of today, They say, Jonathan is not doing anything. He's clueless. Can you imagine after, how many years has he been in office? I don't know. But after all these months he has been in office, he has not been able to catch Boko Haram. Can you imagine Boko Haram? It's just Boko Haram in everything. Can you imagine power? Power has been quite constant over the last few weeks. And everybody has shut their mouths. Nobody is saying rank candidate. Oh, they've kept their mouth. It's an evil spirit that's disturbing people. The Bible says the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. That's why they talk nonsense. So a lot of people, that's what they just do. But listen to me. I always direct, of course, my commandments to believers. All right? My instructions of the word of God to Christians. God said, listen, I know what you are seeing. I know it. But listen, what you are going to see tomorrow is a result of what you are prophesying into it today. It's not the commentary you are running. Hey, I know I've said this thing many times, but I can't say it enough. That is, you must resist the temptation to prophesy what they call soothsay like the Philistines. Because that's why God abandons his people. You must resist that temptation. The story I like to tell all the time, I've told it 1,000 times, but I know I'll tell it at least 50,000 more times because it's so instructive. Terry Mize wanted to marry Jackie Mize. And Jackie Mize said straight to Terry Mize that, listen, I'm not going to marry. He said, why not? No, I love you, baby. Marry me. No, you know those kind of stories. He said, I can't have children. He said, well, what do you mean you can't have children? He said, the doctors said. And the guy said, the doctors don't know anything. People say, we have to be wise. We have to be wise. You see, wisdom depends on what you know. Are you getting my point? What you call wisdom, it depends on what you know. When all you know is what doctors say, yes, it's wisdom. To obey them and say, sorry, I can't marry this girl, she can't have children. The guy said to her simply, forget it. Those guys don't know what they are saying. I know something greater than what they know. So he began to prophesy. My own scripture there. He said, God, you are the one that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. Not what the doctor said. Are you getting my point? My favorite scripture for married women, especially pregnant people, Isaiah 66 verse 9. He said, how did it go again? Anyway, go and read it. Isaiah 66 verse 9. I always give it to every woman who says she's pregnant. The man began to prophesy it upon the woman. The woman had children. I think she had one, had two, had three. I'm not sure she ended with three or ended with four. That was a woman who the doctors said. People say maybe the doctors were mistaken. Listen, when prophetic words begin to occur, we'll start looking for reasons, all right, to explain their manifestation. What's my emphasis again? It's the duty. Please, somebody say a duty. If you're in a country like Nigeria, it's a duty. And I'm so happy for in this place, we've been doing it for a very long time. This power, we prophesied to power so much that it has no choice. Even if God, if Jesus wanted to return, all right, next week, he will switch on our life permanently from now till next week. That word may be fulfilled that we have uttered. It's what? A duty. They say, can you imagine? And Nigeria police, that's commentary. But we have a duty to what? Put order. God saw that the police force was without form and it was void. Therefore, he spoke to the situation and police force arranged. That's the duty of Christians. It's what? The duty of believers. I want to just remind us of that, okay? So I can get into the main thing I want to do today. So remember what we're saying? He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Who are the prophets of God? I'm emphasizing to us again, we are not all the same. Everybody on the street, we are different. Amongst the people you find on the streets, there are the people that are special. And God, if you read that first Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he explained to them, you are a special people, you are a peculiar people, you are a holy nation. God called you out. And listen, the events of the earth were arranged to produce and cooperate with the purpose of God for those people. Are you getting my point? That is, if God says, okay, let me rearrange things. Okay, let there be famine all over the land. Why? Because my people, they need to move down to Egypt and, one story. when he wants to move. In fact, you know, when God brought Cyrus as a king to come and replace Nebuchadnezzar, when he brought in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, it was so that he would let the oppressed of the people of God go free. So when it was time to set them free, he said, I need a new king that will let them go. You've heard me say it again and again. In this country, even if you demand and they appoint you governor or president, you will bless me. That is, you will make policies that will cooperate with the manifestation of divine blessing in my life. If you won't, you will die suddenly. So that as Nebuchadnezzar is removed, or his son, another king will come replace him to make his oppressed go free. That's how prophetic words work. So it's our duty, that's what I'm saying. Anything you see in life, you speak to it. We don't sit down and be commenting. It is not right. Listen, temptations are tempting. Amen? You've heard me say it before. Temptations are what? They are tempting. So you'll be tempted to say things that are out of order. Or you'll be tempted to shut your mouth and say nothing. Listen to me, don't fall for it. You know, I've said before, people think sin. Sin is, you went to catch somebody else's wife. That's a terrible sin, amen? I'm not saying it is good. But you are not likely to do that. And the devil is not going to, you get some temptation where the devil is not going to even bother with. There are some temptations that you don't even realize that they are temptations. And you are falling for them therefore every day. Hey, somebody has been kidnapped. What's the next thing you say? What is going on in this country? We don't even understand. These police people serve. Ever since they took them off the road, they are not doing their job again. And we say we have a national security advisor. Why would talk, meaningless talk. Okay, the man that's kidnapped, why don't you start praying for him? We'll talk about the people that allowed him to be kidnapped later. But let's find him first. Why don't you prophesy over him? Okay, that's the third kidnapping you are hearing of in the last few weeks. When has that become a normal thing in my place? I don't like it. So you get up one morning as a spirit of kidnapping, now me and you today. Or you are not even addressing one spirit of kidnapping. You are talking, this will end in this land. This will end in this land. We will not agree. We will not agree. You are not there pointing fingers and apportioning blames. Let me not sit down on that, please. All right? But I'm trying to bring out an issue. Listen. God is not expecting, listen to this, everybody to do right. Listen. I like the way Gordon's, many of you know Gordon's the comedian. Gordon said, when God saw it, he said, I wish. That is, there are things that God just saying, I wish that all men will be saved. That is, God is just, and I just wish that all men will agree. What is it? A wish. That is, it's not going to come to pass, he knows. So he doesn't expect everybody to behave properly, to speak properly, to prophesy accordingly. He doesn't expect it. He wishes, but he knows it will not happen. What does he expect? That amongst these people, there are the people I call my prophets. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are what? My prophets. That is not in Enugu. There are maybe 1 million people in the state or in the city. Not all of them are my prophets. My contention, my trouble, all right? My issue is with those who are what? My prophets. And what am I teaching today? To emphasize to Christians, to believers, that every one of them is his prophet. I want to emphasize it again. That if you are Christian, you are what? He is prophet. I said this last time, let me say it again. Okay, don't forget this thing I said, let me just quickly remind us. Prophecies are for what? Building. We are builders with God, that's what we said last time. We are builders with God. That's our job. Like I was saying a few moments ago, we are not there to comment. We are there to what? To build. We are there to what? Build. That's what we are there to do. To make sure that we are building. Now, how do we build? We build with prophetic words. And when I say build, you know, one of the things about Christians is lack of teaching. Is that they still think, and I need to keep saying it, the ministry that when we talk about building with prophetic words, the thing you prophesy when you are in church, you prophesy over ministry, you prophesy over your life, that is good. But you are supposed to prophesy over even things like water supply. Amen? Amen. Schools, roads, banking, trade. You know, one brother was asking me yesterday, he was doing some consulting for some people, and he told me how Nigerian maritime, the maritime sector is dominated by foreigners. That 99 point something percent dominance by foreigners. Why? Because Nigerians don't own ships much. The ships that are there, they don't man them, they don't own them. How can you man it when it's not your own? You know, stuff like that. At the end of the day, and when the international people are talking, we can't even talk. Because you don't have a boat. You know, when men who have boats are talking, what are you going to say? So I was discussing with me that, what do I think can be done with just, I'm bringing an issue here. I'm not going to discuss that in detail. I just want to bring out an issue. That now you have identified that kind of deficiency. The duty of Christians, his prophets. Listen, there's one mistake Christians make. Now I've been saying it again and again. We will now say, believers, let us go out and buy ships. Is it good to buy ships? If you believe it's good, say amen. And I'm in total agreement with you. But if you go out to buy ships, you will not be able to buy ships. Because they are expensive. And they're not the vex buy them. Just wake up and say, I'm angry. How come we don't have ships? Anger will not yield you anything. What you do is that you soften and prepare the ground ahead with words. That's what I'm going to explain. Because what most people do is that they want to ask, okay, what is the strategy? How do we acquire it? Listen, that time will come. And there are those that sometimes, this is how it works. In fact, not sometimes, all the time. There are those that it will be their duty to execute that portion of it. But the first thing is, God said, my prophets, do you think that is good? They say no. So what are you going to do? Say, we'll prophesy. And he said, what do you call prophecy? It's simple. We just simply say to the ships, become ours. And he said, how do you do that? There are words from the Bible. There are scriptural words to confirm that. For example, it's a very simple and general one. Promotion does not come from the east and west. But God is judge. He lifts up, he brings out one and lifts up another. So he said, in this area, we command lifting. We command lifting for this country. Now you say that, and spiritually you set events in motion. Let me tell you something that will happen once, all right? About Boko Haram and stuff like that. When it's going to end, it will end like, one they just realized has ended. Let me put it like that. It will just end. Now, it will not end because the army became very strong. And because, you see, when people talk, sometimes you know they are speaking out of ignorance. You say that what is wrong with this country? You should know that this spirit that's manifesting in Nigeria as Boko Haram did not start here. You need to be totally ignorant of world events to think it started in Nigeria. It goes by different names in different places. There's Al-Shabaab, the same thing. Are you getting my point? It's a spirit. Let me summarize it like that. It's a spirit. Looking for where it will what? Destroy. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. What will end it is not human effort. The human effort that will end it will be a manifestation of two things. Divine timing, all right? And the fulfillment of the prayers and prophecies of the saints of God. The thing is a spirit. I'm bringing an issue here. It's a spirit. And when you want to tackle spiritual problems, when you want to tackle problems, that's what makes you a believer. You tackle them spiritually. You know, you go to those so-called civilized countries, they divorce every day. Listen to me. It's a spirit. What did I say? What did I say? It's a spirit. Apart from understanding things generally, I heard Derek Prince explain a prophetic word that somebody gave, that is somebody, God gave him understanding and visions. And the fellow said that that spirit that was breaking homes was moving into the United States, and it was, and the throne or something like that, I can't remember the words he used, was in Reno, Nevada. Reno, the city in the United States. And Derek Prince said that was the first place in the United States when this thing began to manifest. It was the first place you could get divorced in 1 hour. At least you wake up this morning. Sebula said, I suppose divorce. So. You walk down to court. You get there 8 o'clock. By 9 o'clock, you're single again. And that was the seat. You see, the Bible talks about where Satan has his throne. That was the seat of that evil spirit. So when you see, don't think that they don't know. You know, that's why I told you. I wrote the book, Should I Say Yes? All right? Because I used to drop things here and there about marriage. And people like Bishop and Co said, look, okay, I'll put this thing together. And so we finally did. But I've read a lot of books about marriage and stuff like that. And most of the books I read, most. In fact, normally I get tired. I get tired, all right? I don't finish them. Most of the ones I see around, when they talk about how to relate with your wife, how, like the one I always say, how not to forget her birthday, I feel bad. You know why? Because the people are trying to solve a spiritual problem with psychological solutions, and it can't work. It can't work. I found out that that thing is a spirit. It's not because people don't know how to do it. You know, that's not the primary thing. It's a spirit. And when you're under the influence of a powerful spirit, it always wins. It will win. Oh, I don't know whether I get my point. It will win. The only way by which you can overcome it is to have a higher spirit. That's it. And you allow that spirit to manifest. Otherwise, it will always win. Like corruption in Nigeria is a spirit. The only people that can fight it and succeed in fighting it, they must have a spirit stronger than it. You know why I'm saying all of these things? I want people to understand how to tackle problems from a spiritual angle. Take that marriage as an example. Well, look, one of the ways by which you cooperate with Satan is to make excuses for him. I don't know what I hear what I said. Yeah, that's one way by which you cooperate with him. You start making excuses and start explaining why it may not be the way God said it should be. I call them excuses for Satan. And if you notice, one thing that God did was to tell Jeremiah to shut his mouth and stop making excuses for Satan. Because he said, I have called you a prophet. That one said, this is the problem. I'm too young. And it makes sense. I mean, if they're sending to old men, big men, and you are a teenager, and you don't know how to stand in presence of great people, it is a very good excuse. But God said, do not say. That's so emphatic. It wasn't just the fact that the man is thinking that he's a youth. He said, but don't give excuses for Satan. Do not say I'm a youth. Don't repeat the reason why the satanic agenda will prosper. As people sitting down, I'm talking about handling it from a spiritual angle. They start explaining, what if the woman is so stubborn and the man is so wicked? Okay, I have seen a situation in which a man brought a cutlass and was torpedoing his wife. Although, if you were from Delta side, you understand what I'm saying. And was chasing his wife around with a cutlass. And they start telling stories and they sit down on those stories and they strengthen the throne of Satan that's been built in their midst. I'm not talking about marriage, but what are we supposed to do? It's simple. If you don't know what to say, keep declaring the word of God. For this cause, he said, he that created them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has so joined together, let no one, let no situation, let no excuse put asunder. Then say, but I have seen a situation in which, he said, wait, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Why? He that made them male and female. You understand my point? Let no excuse put them asunder. You are just not being realistic. That's the truth. I am not being realistic according to your reality. I am being realistic according to the creative power of the word of God. You know what? All the excuses you make, they will happen in your life. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Prophetic words don't always have to make sense. And that's why I read from that Isaiah chapter 34. It says, seek from the book of the Lord. What did he say? Seek from the book of who? The Lord. What did he say? Seek, check, look, search, research, investigate from the book of the Lord and read. Don't look at experiences. Seek from the book of the Lord and what? And read. Don't try and explain why and why not. Just seek from the book of the Lord and what? And read. That's what matters. Prophetic words. I said prophecies is they are declarations, all right? A prophecy is a declaration of the revealed word of God. Or the revealed will. That's a better way to use it. The revealed will of God. The will of God, a will is a will. What I desire. What I created things to be. That's what God was saying. That's what a will is. It is not what you are seeing. You are getting my point? What a prophecy. That is, if God says it like this. You know, God said to Moses, I will show you a pattern in the heavens, on the mountain now. Then you go down to the earth and you build according to that pattern. The fact that God has a pattern, has a will, is no guarantee that it will come to pass. I said it last time. When we see the pattern, seek from the book of the Lord and read. That's the pattern. Then we now come down to the earth. And let me tell you something about prophecy again. We don't prophesy only when we are consciously prophesying. The Bible says those that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord heard. Prophetic word is not when you just get up. Thus says the Lord. Let me tell you the most powerful ones. You and your wife, you are lying down at night, just discuss. These are our children. I don't know. This boy is so heady. He's so heady. People like him don't amount to anything. I'm really worried. That's the prophetic word. That is a powerful one. I don't know. You know, my father was like that. Very stubborn man. This boy is just becoming exactly like your father. I don't know. My husband. Why is it that the genes in your family? You know, one brother. In fact, he will listen to this one of these days. You know, he came to see us yesterday. We were discussing. I told him I traveled. So, if you see his son, he has hair, you know, the hair on his head. All right? Adult women, we envy it. That is, God, bless me with this baby's hair. Full. Very rich. Of course, baby hair, call it one kind like this. The kind where they go cut, sell, and girls go buy 50K. So we're just admiring and talking. But my guy now, issues don't they come up for this side. Things were disappearing. You understand what I'm saying? They're not this good. So we're not talking about the boys there. He said, I'm sure he'll keep the hair. He said, because this one no did their side. And pointed to his wife. Now, I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, me, I'm bald. I'm balding now. But my wife's family, there's no baldness in their lineage. So this boy with this rich hair, is going to continue to retain his hair. Now, for your information, those that become bald in hair in life, many of them were born with very rich hair, in case you do not know. All right? Uh-huh. And in fact, when they were young, they were still cutting Michael Jackson and Brothers Johnson and B. And they had all kinds of, whether now Rihanna, all kind of hairstyle. Now they cut. Now, I wonder as they grow, things just they drop one by one. You understand what I'm saying? And the Lord was giving the commandment, the thing was dropping. The hair was numbered, but they were removing the number and keeping it somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? So I told him, I said, oh boy, forget that one. That's where I'm going. I said, forget that one. I have learned not to check where something is or where something is not. That wherever it is or is not, we should learn to create it. Are you getting my point? And let me tell you this thing again. You must understand this. Human beings were, I saw one white man the other day on TV talking. I said, oh boy, this guy is white. Oh. White. When you look, you see some brethren like me. You say, oh boy, this guy is black. Oh. In fact, when they were setting up this stage, I was telling one guy, these lights, are they not too many? He said, oh guy, you black. Oh. That is, You know, saying, are you going to stand for this platform? So we need all the lights. We had a good laugh here that day. We said, okay, one light here, one light, another light. I said, oh, well, you want to flood this place? He said, oh, God, you black hole. That is. But we're all human beings. And if indeed we all descended from one father, Noah. Not Adam now, because you know all the Adamic descendants were all trimmed down to Noah. So let's get down to Noah. If indeed we all descended from Noah, and his, is it three or four boys from Ham, Seth, Japheth, all right? Seth, Ham, and Japheth, all right? From those three boys, all right? That means that things have changed a lot over time. Yeah, things have changed a lot. Even amongst us, all right? You see people like this, you understand? And there's people like me, and we're all the same. And we're supposed to be descendants. Some people are very fair, some are very dark. What am I trying to say? Things change. What did I say? And genes change. That's what I'm saying. I believe, this is my own conviction, when did the human beings begin to have all kinds of colors? It was when they began to have all kinds of languages. Tower of Babel. When God spoke, they scattered in every direction. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. And that one began to affect the manifestation in their skin. Now, I don't want to talk genetics now. One, most scientists and doctors, everybody, are very confused as to what is going on. They talk as if they know. They don't know. All right? It's just that when you don't know, but you know more than those who don't know at all, you will appear like you know a lot. I've been in this business for some years, all right? And I have seen things change. Every 5 years, they will tell you one thing. Another thing, they wake up, tell you another thing. They say, no, the one we said the other time is wrong. We found the new one that's correct. And as I'm trying to adapt your life to that one, they say, hey, wait. We're about to change it again. So I found out, look, they don't know what they're saying, all right? And no, they don't know what they're saying. One thing I know from the word of God is this, things change. Are you getting my point? And we found out, listen to this, that when God wanted to bless Jacob, follow what I'm saying. When God wanted to bless Jacob, they made deals, he and Laban. If they are stippled or they are spotted, they are mine. If they are plain, they are yours. The man will take when plain animals are mating. According to Gregor Mendel, this should not happen. Yet the man will just make stripes on wood and put in front of them, and the animals will beget. The Bible said these things were recorded for our learning. They are what? Recorded for our learning. You know what he was saying? I don't care who your father is. I will tell you what you are going to become. That's what he was saying. So I told my brother, I said, oh boy, don't talk like that. He said, their father said, no. Even if both of them, they are bald headed. If you desire that this boy's head of hair be kept like this, and from now, begin to tell it. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Look, I told you once, I was reading a book. It was written by Novahis. And there's a way men talk, all right? And it strikes you. Novahis said once, he had a daughter. I think an only child. Once, Kenneth Hagin was his friend, all right? Kenneth Hagin came to their house. And she noticed that the girl, that Novahis' daughter, had warts on her hands. All right? And they were quite ugly and unsightly. You understand? Viral warts. Now, this is what I took away from that thing. Kenegan looked at the girl and said, I could curse that thing. I could curse them and they would die. He just said it in passing. He just saw the thing and said, I can curse these things and they would die. But he didn't. All right? Now, we're not talking about why he didn't. One of the reasons is that he's not the girl's father, and you know, there's a matter of authority and all of that. But Novahis said the Lord now began to deal with him that, in fact, he never saw them. I don't know where I get my point. He never saw those things on his daughter's hands. So the Lord began to deal with him that you have been very negligent. You have not been doing your duties as a father. Now, I can't remember the details now, but I think he began to curse those things and they withered. That's why, listen, don't just hand your children over to house help. House help, go bath your picking 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Collect your child. Bathe that child yourself. Why? So that at least you will see when one cocoa is developing in a place where cocoa not supposed to be. And as a child of God, you begin to speak to the cocoa. You understand what I'm saying? told you the cocoa. I mean, that's a swelling and not. I'm telling you, it's important. Here, I'm supposed to talk about God's prophet, but I've not been able to settle on it. Let me just continue on this one. You know, all my children, all right? Most of us here know them. They will all do well in life. You know how I know? Because that is my decision. I have 4 children, all right? And I'm so happy for the 4 children I have because if they were not like that, I would have had wrong impressions of parenting and all of that. All my 4 children are as different. In fact, one is from the north, the other is from the south, one is from the west. Yes, and the last one is from the east. They are so different. Very different. You put Victory and Omena on bridal train. Victory will be looking for his mother, as old as he is. Omena will forget everybody. He will forget father, mother, brother, and sister. I'm disciple of that bridal train for the day. And she's enjoying it. You understand what I'm saying? They are very, very different. Some of them, of course, the 2 older boys, they walked. Both of them walked before they were 9 months of age. Victory was just a few days after 8 months when he got. I can't remember him crawling. He's on why I was crawling when he can run over the place. He got up. Not only did he walk, he began to run. I'm serious. Fearless. Look, if you put him on this, he will jump. He won't know that people who jump, I like it to get injured. Very, very different from his brother. Now, let me not continue talking about difference in my children. What I want to bring out is, I have told everybody that is them, their mother, the angels, the spirits, God, devil, everybody that cares to hear. No matter how different you are, one area where you are all united and you are one is success and victory in life. Listen, if you bring my kid's report card and he fails everything, I won't be happy. That's why I'll be happy. But ask those who have lived with me. Ask my wife. There are things I don't say. You won't hear me say, "What is wrong with you, self? You will never do well. You this child. God, why you give me this kind of picking?" Let me tell you why God gave you that kind of picking. Because to him, it does not matter. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. The earth was without form and it was void. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered and said, this child, why are you behaving like this? He hovered. You will not become what people think you will become because of this. He hovered. He looked at the fathers, the ancestors, and said, leave. I don't like where that is leading. Let me now see. What do I want to be? You will be a president. Either the president of a nation, of a company worth, or of a company worth $100 billion of today's dollars, or a president of a university, or a president of a ministry, or whatever it is. And then he spoke when his heart was full of the thing he had contemplated. They came to Jesus. They said, why was this one born blind? Who sinned? Was it him or his parents? And he said, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. As long as I walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. He said, it does not matter. Why are we giving excuses for the reason why he's like this? Let us tell him what he's supposed to become. That's it too. So, I will tell my children, you, is that good boy behavior? You're a good boy, and I beat you. I'm spanking you and I'm reminding you of, because before you spoke, I told you what you will be. I told you what you will be. If you are not attentive, I will speak attention into your life. Like I said last time, I will prophesy again. There's an again side of prophecy. You don't prophesy once and say it's not working. Every time you utter, you are pushing things in that direction. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, he said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Why did you prophesy once, twice, a third time, and you stopped? He says, you should have continued to strike until you have consumed Aram. Do you understand my point? When it comes to things outside, our nation, your environment, we prophesy. When it comes to our personal lives, we prophesy. He said concerning Adam, he said, whatever he called any living being, that was its name. I tell young men, stop saying, these girls, they can't be trusted. You will get a Jezebel. Listen, she'll be a young virgin from the village, not exposed. But you don't know that inside the spirit, you know, there's what they call sleeper cell in Al-Qaeda. There's a sleeper demon inside her heart. Waiting to, when you don't marry and finish, you go manifest. Why? Because you kept prophesying. Women cannot be trusted. These women, they can't. It is to you according to your faith. The word became flesh and dwelt in your house. That's the way it works. If you've read my book, if you've heard my story, I said, I used to tell people, I said, listen, put me in the midst of 1,000 Jezebels, I won't marry one. Why? There's a grace of God that's working with me. Period. And I said, how do you plan to do it? There was no plan. There was no plan. I met my wife by mistake, you understand, by mistake. Because my pastor didn't come on time, they said I should go and preach. When I finished preaching, she came and said, please, I want to ask you a question. And an angel said, arise, kill and eat. There was no plan. You read my the one chapter in that book on arranged marriages. It was arranged marriages, old-fashioned. Go and read my book. I'm not teaching it now. Should I say yes? There's nothing old-fashioned about it. There are some principles around it. One of them is that, look, what just matters is that a prudent wife is of the Lord. There's no arrangement. There's no technique. You understand what I'm saying? But what prepares you ahead of time is the kind of things you are saying as a young man. That's what I'm trying to explain. The duty of God's prophets. Let me just say this, all right, so that I can use it to close. What I wanted to say about who are the people that are God's prophets. Don't forget it. Nations don't prosper because everybody is nice. They prosper only because God's prophets are doing their duties. Things don't change because everybody agreed they should change. They change only because the prophets of God began to prophesy. Are you getting my point? And let me say this again. It's so important that you will realize this. Please, let me say it again. I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. The Bible said, we read last time, surely the Lord God does nothing. How many things? Nothing. How many things does he do? Nothing. How many things? Nothing. Except he reveals his counsel, his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? Let me summarize it. The effect of that is that if the prophets don't prophesy, the Lord does nothing. Oh, very important you train yourself. You know, when it comes to children, by God's grace, all right, I give him the glory. God has so trained me that I must have, I'm sure every day, on the average, I tell each one of my children, you're a good boy or you're a good girl, and you are beautiful or you're handsome, at least on a bad day, 3 times, each one of them separately. Okay, let's just say average, more than 3 times. It has become reflex. If I discipline you, I end it with, you are a good boy, you are handsome. That is after you've cried, you have repented in sackcloth and ashes. You're a fool. I can't remember it come from my mouth. No. I can't remember it. One day I told my son, Akinlu, are you deaf? Do you know I called him back and apologized? I was angry that day. And I heard myself say, are you deaf? Now, no, that's a question. It's a question. I called him and apologized that I'm very sorry. And before I spoke to him, I was speaking to myself. He is not deaf in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of deafness. Deafness, you're out of here. I wasn't talking to you. Go away from my house. I wasn't calling you. I was angry. I have repented of anger. Anger. I remember that day. Only once. I was telling him something. Was there, and I just got angry. And I had to tell him, no, you are not deaf. You know, he didn't even, you know, he wasn't, nobody saying he vexed, you understand? Nobody saying he touched him. But he touched me. And I know I won't let any evil spirit use any excuse. I told you, words are what? They are weapons. When he said the sword of the spirit, we often interpret like that may be correct. I'm not saying it's not correct, but interpret it as the sword of the Holy Spirit, the word of God. But I don't think that's what he said. He said the sword of the spiritual realm. I don't know whether you get my point. That is the sword that they use in the realm of the spirit, their words. When they want to fight, they draw words. Who will win is the amount of words, the amount of ammunition you have on your side. So we don't just throw words around recklessly. Especially, let me charge us again as Christians. Remember I said, surely the Lord God does nothing except he reveals his counsels to his servants, the prophets. And I said, what that implies is that if prophets don't prophesy, the Lord does nothing. That is, surely the Lord God solves no problem in Nigeria except his servants prophesy. Surely Boko Haram does not come to an end except the servants of God prophesy. Surely kidnapping does not stop except the servants of God prophesy. Surely there will be no order in the military, in the police, in banking, in sports, in anything except the servants of God prophesy. Surely. Can be there every day talking, you know. You know, for every footballer, there are 15,000 commentators. You know that? Why didn't Nigeria get any medal? No, they said they got wood and rubber. From the last Olympics. It is because our government is useless. Sports is without form and void. And darkness is upon the surface of the Ministry of Sports and Youth Development. And the Spirit of God is not around and nobody is saying anything. You understand my point? Nobody is incubating, nobody is saying anything. And listen to me. If you ever did chemistry in secondary school, you learn the law of entropy. Things never get better spontaneously. It is a fat lie that evolution is the reason why you are here. Why? Evolution is only time. Things got better spontaneously. That's on paper. What am I saying? If you think that one day Nigeria, somebody was, one guy was analyzing, okay, the brother I was talking to, that one man said, he has concluded, this is a foreigner, because Nigerians are very smart people, all right? He has met Nigerians, they are very intelligent. But he has been to Nigeria, he's a foreigner. And the country is so, you understand, scattered. And he couldn't understand. That is, the thing worries me that, look. I remember those days, it was Terry Venables, all right? When Nigeria played England, the days of Amokachi, you know, Rashidi Yekini and co. Terry Venables said, give me six of these boys, I will rule the world. I remember very well. He was the coach of England. That what? When he saw these guys play ball, now I'm making an issue here. Are you like, what? Give me these guys. I will rule the world. Of course, by the way, the issue that they were playing with so much, the passion. Those days, Finidi George used to play his heart were in his legs. Oh, how many hearts did he have? One. Okay, his heart was in his legs. But I'm making an issue. So this guy was like that. He said he has seen Nigerians. What Nigerians can do. But when he came to Nigeria, oh boy, he wanted to run back from the airport. And at the airport, they told him that his one vaccination paper, maybe something not show clearly. You know the way police used to do. Is this S or 5 in your chassis number? And you look the policeman in your mind, but I beat you. But of course, you know they argue because you know where the story is going. He said, it depends on how you want to read it. 200 naira to be S.
So that, anyway, so he met something like that at the airport. He had to give somebody $50 so that things will become clearer. Maybe the man go buy glasses. This was an international conference. The man was speaking. He now said something. Now, this is the error. What I want to bring out what he said. He said he decided that a time will come that the way Nigerians are behaving, that they will go down, that they will not reach the bottom. That when they reach the bottom, they will realize that there is only one other place to go, which is up. You see, I said, that's the error. The down is bottomless. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. The down is what? Bottomless. It is bottomless. There's no stopping until there's total annihilation. When God burnt up Sodom and Gomorrah, he said nothing will ever grow there again. People have identified the place. It's the most barren place on the surface of the earth. Pure sulfur is still there till today. Nothing grows. Even bacteria don't grow. So it is a lie that will go down so much, will not begin come up. That's what I'm trying to explain. The only way we will turn around, and we don't have to wait till we have reached down. The only way we will turn around is if a positive force is put into the turnaround. I'm not talking on the social aspect now, the economic aspect. I'm talking on the spiritual aspect today. So spiritually, we have to force the turnaround by the prophets of God engaging themselves in their duties. What's their duty? Prophesying. Remember, in the realm of the spirit is words. That's the sword that is used there. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. And we are builders with God. We see a template in the heavens. All right? And then we begin to declare on the earth what we want it to be. That is according to that template that is in heaven. When Jesus said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. People read it as if thy will be done on earth as it's been done in heaven. That wasn't what he said. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Please let me end my message again, all right, with the issue of who the prophets are. Maybe I'll develop that further next time. Is the prophets, all right? It's not just everybody. There are a number of things about the prophets. I'll summarize it, then we'll break it down again further, all right? Next time. One, in summary, there are people that believe. It said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We've read that from Psalm 105. It said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And we said, who are those people? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the nation of Israel, they were the prophets of God at that time. And at this time, they are the people, all right, they are the new nation of God, the true circumcision. And these are the people that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are now the people of God, all right? He said, but you are a chosen race. That's verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, if you see the word, a people, or the expression, sorry, a people for God's own possession. In King James, it says, a peculiar people, right? Yeah, that's what it says. I'm using the New American Standard here, and it says, a people for God's own possession. It said, my prophets. Mine. You understand? My prophets. Here it says, a people for God's own possession. It said, you are that people. You are a chosen race, a holy nation. You are a people for God's own possession. What was he saying here? In effect, listen to me. If a country collapses, now let me just end with this. It is not because Boko Haram was fighting. If a country collapses, it is not because everybody there has a problem. If a country collapses, it is because the church in that nation has a problem. You know why? What preserves that place is the people of God's own possession. You're following what I'm saying? You know, let me just say this. I said, let's learn to tackle things from a spiritual perspective. I've had arguments with people again and again when it comes to political matter, Christians and political matter. I'm not talking about Christians in politics now. I'm talking about Christians and political matter. For example, if you watch TBN or any Christian network, you see CBN network. They have this program. There's some participation in what they call American Center for Law and Justice, all right? And there's this guy, Jay Sekulo. He's a lawyer. Even I think his son is into it also. But these guys are serious defenders of legally now. They are very involved in legal challenges and stuff like that, trying to keep American moral standards up. And, you know, they defend Christian matters, like, you know, just trying to do the opposite of ACLU. They are ACLJ, all right? ACLU is American Civil Liberties Union, all right? Those guys support everything that is bad. If they say you want to eat your children, they say it's your right. And to them, they are not supporting eating the children. They are supporting the free choice to eat anything you want. You understand what I'm saying? And so they always seem to go against Christian standards. You understand? They will be in front of supporting homosexual marriages and all of that. Now, please, I'm not having an issue here. What ACLJ is doing, is it good? I really think basically it is good. I think it's good. I really think, no, really, I'm persuaded it is good. But listen to this. I taught them what I call the foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. And in it, I distinguish between foundations and pillars. What are pillars? They are things you can see. But the things that really carry the building, they are invisible. That's, they consider the foundation of the building. As a rule, they are invisible. You know why? You dig. You lay the thing in the dog state. You understand what I'm saying? And then you cover back. Then the pillars rise from there and you can see it. So you see, in a nation, they say, okay, these are the things that are spoiling our children. And then ACLU will say, let us spoil them. ACLJ will say, no, let's not spoil them. But you know what God said? Children will always be spoiled as long as the parents are in idolatry. You know, God said to them, he said, your children, your girls have become prostitutes. Harlots, he said, of course, King James. And then your boys are whoremongers. He said, do you know why? He said, because the parents, the fathers themselves, they go after, in some, I'm paraphrasing now, they go after other gods. So they are committing adultery spiritually. And it is manifesting in sexual laxity in their offspring. Are you getting my point? I'm not bringing an issue here. In fact, when the book, all right, is finally out, Worship and Sex Control, I explain those things inside it, all right? Now, I'm not bringing an issue, please. Follow me. Now, I think I've had arguments with people about Christian and the political matters. Like in Nigeria, we have CAN. And CAN will speak up. Should they speak up? Fine. I think it's okay. Like when the issue of Islamic Bank came up, I had some arguments with some people. They said it is bad, it is wrong. I said there's nothing wrong with Islamic banking. If you, it's not number force. The people said they want to register their own bank and go and bank the Islamic way. Eh, you just say, what is your problem? You can fight whether they should use the term Islamic or not. They should call it not, whatever it is. People say, no, this is how it stands. This is how it stands. They have been funded. I said, well, what's your problem? Now, please follow me. I don't believe that's the problem. I don't. The real problem, that's where I'm going. The real problem, somebody say real problem. Let's start with America. The real problem that the Lord has is not the unbelieving homosexual who wants to marry another unbelieving homosexual. No, he has no problem with that. The country is not going to decay. In this, we're talking about New Testament. Because one homosexual married a homosexual. One does not believe in God. The other believes in one guru somewhere. Confused people, marrying confused people of the same sex. You know, is it good? No, I think it's very terrible. It's called abomination, all right? But you know what allows that to happen? It's when the church, the people of God, when a pastor divorces his wife in the morning and marries the head of the choir next Sunday,
And everybody say, yes, irreconcilable difference. And let us worship the Lord. We worship you, our God, even though we have new wives. And the new ones, the old ones are over there. We still worship you all the same. And they're just singing. The Lord will just look them like this. Said, I'm about to kill somebody. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. But the church, they don't realize that. That pastor will come forward and say, homosexuality is against the will of God, and God is going to judge America. And God say, yes, you're right. I'm going to judge America. But not because of what you think. I'm going to judge America because the salt has lost its savour. Do you get my point? Listen to me. For every dose of iniquity in the church, the world is entitled, this is my own calculation, to 10. They are. I believe very strongly, Nigeria of today, our basic problem is a church problem. It's not PDP. It's not Boko Haram at all. Those are manifestations of darkness. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, when there is darkness, men of darkness thrive. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. When evil people are thriving, it's because darkness is plenty. Do you follow what I'm saying? It is not the evil people that are the primary problem. And I'm not saying that they are not a problem. I'm just saying that for them to thrive, the salt must first lose its savor. It says, you are the light of the world. When the light doesn't shine, the place is dark and evil men thrive. Is it thriving that's the issue? Every time there's always evil and good in the place. The one that thrives depends on the intensity of light. Now, this is what we do, which is what I say from that, it's a mistake. We don't say, no, evil people will destroy you. We don't start pursuing evil people all over the place. And we're not making any headway. God says, you don't understand the principle. They thrive in what? In darkness. But you are the light of the world. So if you want them to naturally shrivel, you understand what I'm saying? What do? You shine brighter. You follow what I'm saying? What do? You shine brighter. But we don't do that. No, really, I'm telling the truth. We don't do that. A lot of things we call ministry is not ministry. You know, I was teaching in them. I told you I went to Onitsha to teach Thursday and Friday, all right? I was teaching Onitsha yesterday. If I told you, I need to write this thing down. Because I was teaching them, I was supposed to speak on harvest and harvesters. I said, listen, Jesus said, when Jesus saw trouble, he saw everywhere scattered, things were upside down. You know what he said? He said, what's the problem? The laborers. Laborers are what? A few. He didn't say the people are wicked. He saw them confused, scattered. He said they were like sheep without shepherd. And he had compassion on them. And he turned to his own disciples and said, you see, the harvest is plenty. But what? The laborers are few. He now said, you should pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest field. So I was not talking about laborers. I said, it struck me that he didn't say the disciples are few. He said what? The laborers are few. I now began to talk about that laborers. One scripture came to my mind. He said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all peoples to myself. Something I deduced from that. You don't draw people into Christ by your strength, by your energy, by your ability to preach eloquently, by your forcing them to come to church. They will come to church to get you off their back. They will come to church to find a nice wife. They will come to church to find a nice husband. Coming to church does not mean anything if the man has not believed. Are you getting my point? All right. You don't convert people like that. They get converted by the activity of the Holy Spirit. As Christ is lifted up and is drawing men to himself. Therefore, who are the laborers? They are the people that are actively lifting Christ up in their lives. Not those who wake their neighbors up every morning. Repent. Otherwise, you will go to hell. The man you are telling does not believe hellfire exists.
So he's not scared.
Please get my perspective. I'm not saying it's wrong to go and preach. But the real laborers are those who in their lives, from there, Christ is shining. Please, let me get back to the point I'm making. In every country, the problem is always with God's prophets. It's never with the unbeliever. They thrive. Evil men thrive when light does not shine. So, she can't speak up. Go ahead and speak up. But those are secondary matters. This is how true repentance was for the Jews. Job said it like this, that Eli spoke to Job. He said, they cry because of the arm of the mighty. No one says, where is God my maker? When the nation of Israel was pummeled by their enemies, they returned in repentance to God. Go and learn this. We'll talk about it maybe one of these days. We're learning from Moses. We want to go there. Please, in case I forget, somebody remind me, all right? Because God taught Israel a song. Because that was their way out of problems for everlasting, for eternity. He said, anytime it was a song that Moses taught them, they were supposed to learn it so that every generation would know it. And in that song, he explained that every time, he said, how can one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000? And those 10,000, all right, were the people of Israel. He said, it is because their rock gave them up. So when they had problems, they returned inwards and repented. Do you understand my point? And they go and listen to my message in which I preach what is wrong with a king. In that message, I explained what was wrong with a king was that they rejected that principle that was entrenched in the song of Moses. They thought the reason they will have security is if they have a strong king. Christians think that what they need for prosperity is a strong government. It's not true. What they need, what the country needs for prosperity today is purity and holiness in the church of Christ. What this nation needs for real prosperity is for the church of God, the prophets, as I'm going to emphasize, to realign their lives and do their duty. If prophets stop being conventional, I don't mean pastors, neither say pastors. I mean every one of God's believers. Of course, that's with the pastors and teachers and people like that who will teach everybody the truth. If they stop being covetous, if they stop putting their eyes on the things of the world and they turn around and begin to prophesy. Listen, Boko Haram leader, while he's recording a video, he will have a heart attack and die. JTF will not even know where he was recording the video from. He will just die. They will have 25 successive attempts at bombing. It will kill them. After a while, they will decide that the bombing does not work. Why? Because some people took up their duties and began to do their duty. Let me just end everything there, all right? Don't forget, you are God's prophet. Did I hear an amen? Amen. That's what you are. This world, this nation, will prosper because of you. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. The whole country will agree one day and say, oh, guys, let's do it properly. No. It will be because you and I were standing up, like I said briefly, all right? Lifting up Christ Jesus, all right? We are standing up as true laborers and we are facing out there and we are declaring. Don't forget to, we are not commentators. Did I hear an amen? Amen? We are constructors. That's a good word. Yes. We are the construction company. You understand what I'm saying? A company of believers. You understand my point? We are the construction companies. And the way by which we construct is what? Through the use of prophetic words. And that is what will bring order into our environment. I've talked plenty today. I hope I bless you. You know, sometimes when I start talking like this, I go talk here. At the end of the day, I tell my wife, I hope I made sense there. And she'll say, yeah, you did. I say, are you trying to make me happy? You know, because as my wife now, you don't want me to be boss side. And she'll say, okay. So I don't know. I hope I blessed you today. And like Kenneth Hagin always said, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I shall preach myself happy. All right? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Can we just bow down our heads and just say, Father, thank you. Thank you for truth. Thank you for light. Thank you for understanding.